This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Fed is set to start cutting interest rates this fall as inflation has cooled and the labor market has decelerated. This could lead to downside risk for financial markets, which is why now may be a good time to consider dividend stocks. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Game. All right, we're talking dividend stocks. Let's bring on Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Check out his website, senecalcapital.com. That's C-E-N-A-C-L-E. capital.com. Bill, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Oh, Andy, it's been too long. I can't wait to have this conversation with you.
Yes, and we're talking about why right now might be a great time to take a hard look at dividend-yielding stocks. And we'll get to some of those high-yielding picks and the dividend aristocrats in a second. But first, earlier this week, Bill and I were bouncing some investment ideas around. And Bill, you mentioned an ETF that is throwing off a huge yield. And that's where I want to start today. Share with the Gains audience the high yield pick you mentioned. What do you got for us, Bill?
All right, what I got for you today is an exchange traded fund. It's the WisdomTree Put Right Strategy. So what WisdomTree does is they sell at-the-money puts in the S&P 500. And what they'll do is that creates an immediate credit to the portfolio. So you're not really owning the shares of the S&P 500 outright. And this particular fund seeks to track the price of the CBOE S&P 500 put writing index. So it creates an immediate dividend, and generally the S&P 500 yields, when you look at their options, like the at-the-money options in the S&P 500, pay about a 1% static yield every single month. And so what WisdomTree does is they just keep selling at-the-money put options in the S&P 500 on the Chicago Board Options Exchange, or perhaps even at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and by collecting all these credits, they're able to pass them on in the form of a dividend to their shareholders, and this yield is 10.38%.
How often does that pay? How often do they pay the dividend on that particular product?
Andy, they usually pay it out monthly. When the options expire, they clean up the positions a little bit. They roll the positions from one month to the other, or if they expire, they reinitiate them on expiration Friday. And typically, these exchange traded funds pay out their dividend on a monthly basis. So you're looking at roughly 0.9% monthly on a dividend, and it yields, roughly 10.68%. I think that was the number that I had said.
But you can put that yield immediately to work to buy even more shares. And that's the exciting things. We've talked about this on the Gains podcast before, short covered call ETFs that I would imagine are similar. They pay dividends that monthly. But the nice thing about that is it's instant cash to buy more shares. And so when you look at the yield, when you do that tactic, it's probably closer to 12% for the year. Explain.
Well, sure. You're compounding these dividends that come in monthly if you configure your trading account correctly. And mind you, like the investor has to look beyond just the year-to-date performance, because the S&P 500 year-to-date performance is up 14.7%, not including its dividend yield of 1.7 or whatever it is. The WisdomTree put right strategy is up year-to-date 2.27. But then it pays out almost a 1% dividend over the last 9 months. So, you know, in a straight up market or in a low volatility market, you probably won't do as well. But in a sideways kind of churning environment that I think we're going to be in for a while, especially with interest rates this high, it might pay to have a little less portfolio volatility and overcompensate on the dividend stream income side, especially if you're compounding these things.
Yeah, in fact, that's why we're talking about dividends today. Is another aspect of it is the fact that if the market starts getting flat and goes more a little horizontal versus the vertical markets we've seen, you know, getting some nice yield is actually not a bad play. And meanwhile, you're also building up dry powder or deploying that and even buying more shares. So real quick, on this WisdomTree offering, is there downside? Explain when there could be risk with this.
Well, typically, anytime you buy or invest in an exchange-traded fund, the disclosures are almost overwhelming. You know, the SEC requires a large amount of disclosure content in every single prospectus. Every single disclosure, and even then, Andy, right, past performance is no indication or guarantee of future returns. And so what we'll find is, like when you get a terms of service, when you log into a website, most people just click, have you read the terms of service? And you're like, yes, okay, just move on, right? So most people don't read the prospectus, but investment advisors typically do to see just what kind of derivatives might be in the back end. But a lot of these ETFs using options, especially the covered call writing strategies, the put write strategies, they're pretty clean. I mean, they're pretty plain vanilla in terms of their strategy and don't have a weight, you know, they don't have too many crazy derivatives.
If markets got extreme pressure, I think one of the maybe the downsides is if markets get hit really hard, they could be impacted by that.
Well, of course, right? Because you have a position on, you're risking money in the S&P 500, and the put right strategy only gives you a small level of downside protection. I mean, technically, if you are short, if you're naked short puts, you have less risk than if you outright own the shares of stock, and you can prove that using an Excel spreadsheet or any calculator. So, anyhow, having said that, you know, the S&P 500 is, you know, it's still down. You know, its high was 56.80. Now it's trading, you know, 54.50, 54.70, 54.90. And so we haven't gone so far the last half of 2024. So this kind of turning as we enter the market actually is probably pretty good for put writing and covered call writing strategies. And again, this could just be a part of an overall investment portfolio. Idea is dividend income. Right, we could be in a sideways market just like we were back in the 90s that lost a decade. Like, we don't really know where we're at when we're there, so we just got to be careful. And we have a diversified portfolio. You've got money market funds paying 5.15%. You've got real estate investment trust, oil, energy, utilities. All of these are just really juicy dividend payings at this part of the cycle. And so I like that about the aristocrats, Andy.
I pulled a list of aristocrats ahead of our discussion. And, you know, this is just a great way to park cash, take those yields, and then dividend reinvest. And the nice thing about the Dividend Aristocrats, they've shown consistent dividend growth over the long term. So, and if the market does turn out like we talked about, maybe being a little bit more horizontal over the next couple of years, some of these stocks really come into play. And like you touched on them, the primary sectors that you find these decent dividend stocks, industrials, we've talked about this, in real estate, there's some dividend opportunities, materials, financials, energy, which is a big one for dividend. And of course, consumer staples like the Procter & Gamble's, the PepsiCo's, the Colgate-Palmolive's, just producing stuff that we've been using forever. Super safe stocks, but then all, you know, also throwing off a nice yield as well. I'm not a big fan of utilities, but they generally fall in there. Healthcare, I mean, J&J is one of the all-time aristocrats. Consumer discretionary, I'm thinking the likes of like, you know, McDonald's, Target. One that I like in that space right now, just I like the stock, is Home Depot. And then there's some information technology. What sectors and what out of those sectors that I talked about, where do you have a high level of interest, especially when it's reaching for yield?
Andy, I'll be honest with you. I'm pretty agnostic in terms of the sector. I mean, look at Ben. I mean, the symbol BEN, Franklin Resources. It's a Wall Street. It's in the Wall Street sector. It's trading about $19.55 a share. It's gotten beaten up, and it yields 6.48%. That stock is down maybe more than 50% from its high in 2014. So here's an aristocrat that has, I'm sorry, that's a Disney movie. Here's an aristocrat that's been paying dividends for more than 25 years, and it's just a little out of favor in terms of investor sentiment and institutional investment. And you can pick up, again, a company that's in the Wall Street sector, financial services, and is paying 6.48%. That's something I'd like to look at. And so I always look at the chart pattern, Andy, to make sure that it's like somewhat bullish trend? Is it a sideways trend, or is it in a negative trend? And those are usually my criteria, is yield and then trend. You know, one of my new favorites is the J.M. Smucker Company.
Oh, you and me both. I love those consumer staple space when it comes to dividends. And well, my favorite's Hormel, and we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, J.M. Smucker, ticker on that SJM, actually like their products as well, you know, but tell us about the stock and yield.
Well, here's a company that's down 23% from its high, you know, previously, and it's paying a 3.59% dividend yield. Okay, it's not as much as, say, a short-term money market fund, which is fine, but at least you're in the food and beverage, you know, consumer staples. I don't think Smucker's is going anywhere. It's been around, obviously, if it's an aristocrat, it has to be increasing or paying a dividend for over 25 years. And again, here's a company whose shares are down, say, 30% from the high in 2023. You're not going to get rich with this one because it's trading roughly at the same price as it was in 2017. And if I went back to 2015, I might find the same thing. No, pretty much right about that. Like 2013, 2014, it was trading right around $122 a share. So it hasn't gone anywhere for a decade, yet it continues to pay out a juicy 3.5% dividend. And you have some growth potential because, again, I'm not saying that it's never going to go up. I'm just saying last 10 years it's been kind of stagnant, just churning its wheels. So I'm okay with that. I don't necessarily look to get rich from the upside potential. I look to get rich and increase my wealth from the compounding effect of dividends that come into a portfolio.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned Hormel, another one of those companies in that space that we talked about, pays about a 3.5% yield. But the thing also about Hormel that I find really attractive is it's down a little bit. It seems like you could get a good deal on pricing. I mean, we've seen it as high as, you know, near 50 and Now it's trading about $32. And that's another company just continually growing that dividend yield. Let's talk energy, because one of my favorite picks is XOM and Chevron, CVX. Going into this year, those were two of my stock picks. In fact, when I got some of those stocks at a lower price, they were even throwing off a bigger yield. But energy is just a great place to find yield. What do you have in energy, Bill?
I think in energy, my favorite dividend paying stock is Energy Transfer. It's technically a gas utility, don't get me wrong, but it is in. I would consider that in the energy business in a way, and it pays a dividend yield of 8%, 8.06%. It's about 19% oversold on its weekly basis. It hit a low, you know, during COVID, early COVID 2020. It's had been a great rally from almost $4 a share up to $17 a share at its high recently. And I like Energy Transfer. I mean, it is not a pure energy play despite its name, but I do find it interesting as a gas utility because, once again, I'm kind of sector agnostic. And, you know, while I'm talking, I can do a quick search in the energy view. I'm going to give it back to you, Andy.
I was going to say another one that's in that space that's similar. And it's ET is the on Energy Transfer. That's ET, right? The ticker on that?
Yes, ET.
Yeah. And another one that's kind of in that space, ticker on that is EPD. That's Enterprise Product Partners. And that's a dividend yield of 7.25 with a PE of 11. So, I mean, there's just, there's a ton in the space that provide juicy yields. But I guess one of the big questions then is, How can you make sure that a dividend is sustainable? And that's the one thing, because there is down risk. We've talked about dividend yields in the past. Sure. If a company's throwing off like a 20% yield, there may be a reason why, and it's a lot has to do with the stock price cratering, and you know that dividend may not actually get paid out. Sure. So just kind of talk about that real quick, Bill.
Sure. Well, they call that term a dividend trap. You know, you see a company with a very high dividend, you're attracted to it because you think it's free money, or hey, I only have to hold the stock for 6 months in order to break even because the dividend stream is so high. And what ultimately happens is that dividend payment is just unsustainable. It's just too hard on the company. They're getting rid of precious cash that they need to keep the lights on. And so they'll reduce or cut the dividend. So what I like to do, because I am a do-it-yourselfer, right? I mean, that's why people pay an investment advisor fee. And that is, I'll scour through, you know, hundreds of individual stocks to find a company with a good, solid dividend, with a good chart pattern, and with some history behind it. And I think that you really can't do much more than that. And actually, by going into the actual holdings of Aristocrat ETFs, which you said, I think you and I found like 20 or 25 different exchange-traded funds that are labeled themselves a technology aristocrat. Is it a energy aristocrat? Is it the S&P 500 aristocrat? And you can very easily find out what the holdings are inside these ETFs. And if you want to pick and choose and pick out the good ones and leave the bad ones, you're welcome to do that. You're not under any obligation to just live with a 3% dividend if you can find another company within the ETF that you like. And that's typically what I do. I'll go into the ETF. I'll rip apart every little stock that's in there and sort them by, again, their sector, recent price, some technical attributes, and, of course, their yield. And I did a search for oil companies, energy companies. I found yields as high as 21.9% and as low as 3.5% in oil companies. And again, these are companies you may or may not heard of. And you know what? There's plenty of things to look at. Diamondback Energy, Alliance Resources, TXO Partners. I mean, there's just more than you can Shell. I mean, there's just so many you can pick and choose from, and they're all, you know, solid companies with good earnings and good dividends.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe, and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back with Bill after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back with Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Check out the website, SenecalCapital.com. That's C-E-N-A-C-L-E capital.com. Well, Bill, wanted to kind of shift into one area that I like that's a little bit, some people feel uncomfortable investing. I have no problem with it. And that's in big tobacco. There's two areas of big tobacco that, you know, throw off a nice little yield. Altria, which is the ticker's MO, 7.5%, just an outstanding dividend there. And Altria is just a massive company. And then another in the cigarette space, Philip Morris. Now, that dividend yields about 4%, but, stock has done well and is poised long term. And tobacco, believe it or not, they've gotten through, you know, the kind of the destruction of their industry. And, you know, these companies are actually fairly profitable right now. They have this model down, and their consumer is, I have to admit, being a former smoker, very motivated towards their product. So thoughts on tobacco or maybe Synvesting? Some of those throw off decent yields and just take it from there.
Right, Andy. So again, you know, if the goal is the search for yield, I know that people would like to say that these are sin stocks, but I don't think there's any moral theologian who will tell you that somehow smoking a cigar or a cigarette or, you know, vaping, as long as it's not too addictive. I mean, you say yourself that you were, you know, you had a challenge, stop smoking, but I mean, just morally, there's, in my opinion, not really an issue here.
No, Philip I'm there too. God. I mean, actually, Synvesting that means nothing to me. But some people are caught up on that. Some people take the environmental route. Then they're anti-big oil. So, you know, they call them controversial. But hey, to me, for the most part, unless it's like highly illegal, money's money.
Right. I mean, and listen, in full disclosure, I do a lot of interviews on faith-based media on the radio, and I've really looked into this theory. But we can have that can save that conversation for another day. But I do like Philip Morris. I mean, it has been on a tear in 2024. I mean, this thing is up almost 30%, something more than 30% so far in 2020, four. Is that right? I got to pull this up here. Last 2 years have been great. So 2023, Philip Morris is up 35.47%. It's absolutely killing it. And you're getting the dividend. Like, this is something that, again, was out of favor, traded sideways for a number of years. And like Altria Group, looks like it could be on the verge of breaking out. And you know what, Andy? Maybe what we're seeing here is portfolio managers getting into these dividend aristocrats, because if they're going to see lower interest rates from the Federal Reserve, like we're going to begin seeing cuts over the next 6 to 8, 10 months, then that is going to be a competition for yield-based investments. So we should probably see bonds do well. We'll see these dividend-paying stocks do well. We'll see preferred stocks probably do great. So this could just be an overall shift in portfolio management by big money guys, getting out of some technology and getting into dividends.
A shift that probably, if they're looking at it this way, probably doesn't bode well for high growth and that whole, let's take the market to the moon,
Exactly, exactly. And I think that I certainly have seen plenty of articles recently where investment managers are doing just that. When the news came out about a month or two ago that Warren Buffett sold a bunch of his shares in Apple, I think that was the red light. That was the warning signal for growth managers saying, hey, maybe we should take a few chips off the table. NVIDIA hit like a $3 trillion market cap. Apple's up there, Microsoft, AI, like all this conversation. The Magnificent Seven hit at a time where maybe the asset class by managers is going to begin changing. And again, we're not sure yet. It's just something we need to take a look at and always be open to making sure that we rebalance our portfolio with strategic idea and intelligently.
Another way I use these type of stocks is after you have a really big gain, this is the Gains podcast, you have a big gain in crypto, or you have, NVIDIA, or, whatever you trade in. If you've had a real big win, a lot of times I like taking that win and that cash and just putting it somewhere where I'm getting a yield, there's potential for growth long term, and I can sit it there, and it's almost like dry powder, but it's still in the stock market. And I think dividends are not nearly as sexy. And, we talk about all kinds of high flyers and all kinds of different things on the Gains podcast. But having a place to, eke out some yield and is relatively safe after you've just cleaned house in a certain area, not a bad idea.
Oh, exactly. I mean, look at this. This is not a recommendation, but if you look at the Invesco exchange-traded funds, their S&P pure value ETF, only value and dividend paying stocks, it's up 5.7% year to date in 2024. The S&P 500 is up 14.7%. The NASDAQ QQQ is up 10.97%. And the equivalent growth ETF from Invesco is up 11.28%. So here we have the S&P 500 up 14.7%, the QQQ up a little bit less than 11%, and value up 5.7%. I mean, hey, S&P is up almost three times more, 2.5 times more than value. Does it kill you to rebalance and sell some growth and put it into value for dividend until maybe we get a reversion to the mean, or maybe we wait until after the election? Like, who knows what's going to happen? It just makes sense, Andy, to be a little bit more prudent rather than staying in the third fast lane all the way. Sometimes you want to just move over to the right lane and take a break and wait for traffic to, to pass and wait for a better opportunity ahead of you.
And we've talked about this before. We've seen this in crypto. We've seen it in stocks. We've seen it when you're comparing various asset classes. They all kind of work, one rallies, the other will catch up, the other one will draw back. So, the value may actually be the true value now, especially after we've seen, the growth. And it just speaks to the stat you just threw out there.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the Invesco value ETF, it still has not traded above its 2022 high. So it's still a few percent lower than that. So what does that say? Well, it says that maybe value obviously has not done as well as the S&P 500. It almost convicts the S&P 500 that the Magnificent Seven has outperformed too much. Too few stocks have moved the average higher. They say that the S&P would only be up about 7.5% if you took away the Magnificent Seven. So you have seven stocks have given it, have doubled the rate of return in the S&P 500. How is that prudent? Russell 2000 is still down, 10% from its 2021 high. So if there's ever a time you're going to rebalance a portfolio and get out of the S&P 500 and into things a little bit more reasonable and prudent, boy, I mean, Andy, I think you are spot on in terms of, getting into the income dividend stream type of ETFs at this particular junction. I don't think you could have picked a better time to have this conversation on this topic.
Again, I'm a little wary of the market. We've seen these big gains, and I mean, personally, I've cashed in on a lot of stuff in the market that I've held, and that's kind of led to this conversation. And I think if the market, and there's some others that I've talked to, others on the Gains podcast that kind of see this as a potential, and the timing of this could be really, really good. Like I said, probably better than having that a couple of years ago, right? Before all the gains. But now, we're seeing a shift and potentially shift back to value. And the place certainly makes sense here. So as we wrap up today's Gains podcast, what's the takeaway, Bill? The final takeaway?
Well, they always talk about fear and greed. And you and I are always familiar with the fear side. We talk a lot about that, when the market's making new lows. But I'm not so sure I like the greed part of it. And that is, I think it's fear versus complacency. And you have investors, 401k, people are investing in their 401k, their portfolios are looking pretty darn good. And they just need to ask themselves, I know they're not feeling greedy, but they're feeling kind of complacent. And I just think that, the takeaway would be, it wouldn't be a bad idea to log into your 401k and see if you have a value option that you could take a few chips off the winners and put it toward things that have not performed as well. Or perhaps even emerging markets. Now that we're going to see lower interest rates, that usually tends to make the U.S. dollar lower, which makes international and emerging markets perform better. So maybe there's just a way of being a little bit more strategic and a little bit more prudent as we approach a new election cycle, a new interest rate cycle, and there's so much unexpected things going out ahead of us. I just don't think we're at that part of the game where you just keep all your chips on black or all your chips on red. And by that, I mean the gains you've made in the S&P 500, which can be attributed to only seven or eight stocks.
All right, big thanks to Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Check out the website, senecalcapital.com. That's CENACLE Capital.com. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.